Genesis, sorry, Joseph part four. Like last time, I'm not going to spend any length of time doing a recap. I really rely now on everybody keeping up to date with the podcasts and reading the scriptures behind and ahead of time to so you know what's happening in the story from any moment. Last time we looked at how Joseph was walking with God. God was with Joseph, and Joseph was with God. And we saw this whilst he was serving in Potiphar's house and how God blessed him as a result of this. So we also saw how Joseph was able to resist the temptation of sleeping with Potiphar's wife. However, even though he had done that, we also see how he was falsely accused of rape. And as a result of this, he's thrown into the king's prison. So this is where we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 40. And this is about the cupbearer and the baker. And it says, sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with the two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. And so he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. When all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here, I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had been given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I had a dream too. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "Well, this is what it means," Joseph said. "The three baskets are the 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials, and he lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials, and he restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Well, we don't know for sure how long Joseph served in Potiphar's home. And we don't really know how long he spent in prison before we get to this part of the story in chapter 40. However, what we do know is that this whole story kicks off with his brothers when Joseph was just 17 years of age. And we find that in Genesis 37, verse 2. We also know that Joseph comes out of prison at the age of 30, and we find that in Genesis 41, verse 46. So that's 13 years has taken place. We know if you read on into the next chapter, chapter 41, that he spends a further 2 years in prison. So we can assume that around 10 or 11 years have passed by, which takes us to the start of our reading today in chapter 40. And this has been a tough 11 years. This is 11 years of family rejection. It's 11 years of being a slave in a foreign country and being thrown into prison for something he just didn't do. I mean, it's a pretty dire, pretty challenging, difficult life. We also know from last time, nevertheless, that God was with Joseph, and Joseph was with God. And, you know, because Joseph honored God, and because Joseph trusted God, we see that God blesses Joseph. His grace was upon him, and Joseph was successful in everything he did, even in prison. You know, God is with Joseph and he shows him favor, and he's put in charge of all the prisoners. And, you know, one thing I just want to make sure that we fully appreciate in this part of the story is that, you know, even though we talk about God's blessing and God's grace of being upon Joseph, and no point at this point in the story has God removed Joseph from these difficult, challenging, really pretty horrendous circumstances. God's grace is with Joseph in his difficulties, in his challenges. And last time, you know, I said, didn't I, that even though things seemed to be going good, he's thrown into prison for something he didn't do. It seemed like on the one hand, he'd moved one step forward, but then he seemed to have gone two steps back. And that's when we come into the story. And it says in Genesis chapter 40, verse 1, it says, some time later. And that was the first phrase that really grabbed my attention, some time later. And the first thing I want to talk about is this. I want to talk about God's timing. And I believe God's timing is perfect. Okay, God's timing is perfect. So what happens sometime later? Well, it says that the cupbearer and the baker of Pharaoh, they offend him, and he throws them into prison, and he throws them into the same prison where Joseph is. And we have to ask ourselves, is this seemingly another completely random, disconnected event that's happened here? Or is there some design, some intent behind what's happening? And, you know, I believe that we'll see, and I know you'll see, because we know the story well, that actually what's behind all these events is that God is putting in a plan in place to save a whole nation of Israel. We know that from hindsight, but of course Joseph doesn't know really what's going on at this time. We do know that in verse 4, it says, when this cupbearer and the baker were put in prison, it says, and after they had been in custody for some time, the two men had a dream. So we've got two sometimes later now, two of them. So, you know, there's a lot of space, a lot of randomness going on here. And, you know, I do believe that there is wonderful design behind these, the timing of these events. Let's just trace them back for a moment as we just work our way back in terms of what's happened. In God's plan, there had to be an overlap between the cupbearer and the baker being thrown into prison and Joseph being put in charge of all the prisoners. So some time elapsed. We know that Joseph ended up in the king's prison because he was in a position of trust when he was working for Potiphar, who was one of the king's officials. And that's when he was accused of rape. So that had to happen just at the right time in the right circumstances. Now, you know, that wouldn't have happened overnight. You don't get put in charge of an entire household and trusted with everything, you know, on week two of your employment. Joseph would have had to work for Potiphar for some time and demonstrated his ability and more importantly, demonstrated his faithfulness and his trustworthiness to have been put in that position. Of course, you know, he was only in Potiphar's home because it just so happened that some merchants were passing by when Joseph's brothers were planning and plotting to do away with him. It just so happened at that time they were going by. And as we learned right at the very beginning when we started this story, it'd been some time when Jacob decided to send Joseph out to go and find his brothers. There are a lot of sometime later going on in this story. And really, it has all the potential for not working out the way it does work out that we're reading in Genesis. Over this 11 years, it's a long time that Joseph was going through. God's timing was absolutely perfect. God's timing was by design. God knew exactly what he was doing and why he was doing it. However, as I said, you know, several times before, you know, Joseph, in the thick of it, when it's all happening, he would not have been able to see, I don't think, that God's timing was in any of this. All he could see, really, was his life just seemingly going from bad to worse. And, you know, 11 years on, it's probably worth just stepping back from this. And have you ever wondered, maybe after 11 years, how Joseph was actually feeling, you know, at this point in time? Maybe he was thinking, am I ever going to get out of this mess? Why has God abandoned me? Why is this happening to me? You know, is this the way it's always going to be? You know, I don't deserve this. Joseph, I'm sure, you know, we know that he's somehow incredibly holding on to God. And we see this because God's grace is upon him. But I'm sure as he went to sleep in the cold, you know, damp, dark cell every night, some of these awful thoughts must have haunted him and gone round and round in his head, even though he was trying his hardest to hold on to God. And then suddenly, you know, these two men have a dream, and it's seemingly these two men have a dream on the same night, another interesting event. And this plays right into Joseph's gifting and anointing. He's able to interpret these dreams, and now he sees a glimmer of hope. He says to the cupbearer, look, you know, when you get before Pharaoh, remember me, get me out of this horrible place. You know, I don't deserve to be here. I didn't do any crime that should cause me to be in this dungeon. And now, you know, because he's interpreted this dream and the cupbearer has been taken off, you know, he sees a glimmer of hope. I'm going to get out of here. But what happens? The cupbearer completely forgets to mention anything of Joseph to Pharaoh. I mean, you've got to just wonder how Joseph really copes with this. You know, what a roller coaster of a life he's having. You know, what is going on here? How can you say, how can I say, you know, God's timing is perfect when you look at this story and Joseph is still stuck in prison for 2 years? Why 2 years? Why another 2 years? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why another wait? Why this? Why that? As things never seem to come into play. Well, I want to try and answer that question. You know, what is going on here? And to answer this question, I need to draw on another scripture from the New Testament. It's one that I read last week. It's one that Nikki also referred to in her note that she sent out. It's James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. And we find these really well-known words. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And this is the answer. You know, God's work in Joseph's life, and particularly God's work in Joseph's character, it wasn't finished. It wasn't finished. And God is not about to take shortcuts when he's developing a person's life and he's developing a person's character. God wanted Joseph to be entirely and totally complete and equipped to do what God was preparing him to do, which was to go and stand before Pharaoh and save an entire nation from starvation. And, you know, I started to ask myself the question, well, okay, if God was doing all these things so that Joseph wouldn't be lacking, what was he lacking? What was God still having to do in Joseph's life that needed more work, maybe even needed 2 years more work? And of course, you can't be 100% certain what the answer is in these things, but, you know, I've given it some thought. Maybe he needed to learn a language. Now, I'm sure by now Joseph would have learned the Egyptian language. He'd been in prison for some time. And there's no way, I don't think, that Joseph would be ready to go and stand before Pharaoh if he wasn't able to at least make himself understood. I imagine he's probably feeling fairly confident already in the gifting that he has, this gift of interpreting dreams. After all, it interpreted the cupbearer's dream and the baker's dream, and it happened exactly, I mean, literally exactly how Joseph had said it would. So he knows that he is God. He knows that he's able to interpret these dreams. And so he could be confident in his faith that when the time comes for him to have to exercise his gift, he knows he can do so. So I don't know that any more of that needs to be done. So what is it that God is having to do in Joseph's life? Well, I think the answer is this, and it's something we're all familiar with, and it's the word humility. God gives grace to the humble. But there are two aspects to this humility. I think one aspect we're all really familiar with, but maybe the second aspect is perhaps just a little bit different. You've maybe thought of humility in this way. Firstly, you might remember back in when we started this story, when Joseph was only 17 years of age, there did seem to be a bit of a youthful arrogance about him. Hey, brothers, you know, I had this great dream. You all bowed down to me. And you did, Dad. You know, there was a kind of a immaturity, a novelty to this gift. The Bible doesn't tell us explicitly that, but I have this sense that this is probably what riled the brothers, that he may have come across a bit clumsy, but perhaps he came across a bit arrogant. And God needed to, deal with this, because God gives grace to the humble, and it takes time for us to develop humility in our lives. It takes time to break down pride. It takes time to break down arrogance. But you would think, again, wouldn't you? You would think that all this time, serving as a slave and then being thrown into prison and all these things, you'd think that would knock any pride and arrogance out of his system. So is there something else, maybe, that God is having to teach Joseph at this time? Well, the second thing I think is this, and I think it's really important. I think this delay is going to teach Joseph that it's not all about him. It's not all about Joseph. You see, probably all Joseph can think about at this moment in time, and I don't blame him, because I think any one of us, if we were in Joseph's shoes, we would think exactly the same. He's thinking, when are you going to get me out of prison? I don't belong here. I don't deserve to be here. God, get me out of prison. That's probably the only thing that is on his mind. I want to get out of here. Now, we don't know. I don't know. I can't give you an answer why it took 2 years for him to get out of prison after these two dreams. But maybe God was doing something in Pharaoh's life. Maybe God was doing something in the cupbearer's life, because these two people had to come together at some point in time. Maybe Pharaoh was off doing something. But what we do know is that, these two people had to come together in order for the next part of this story to happen. And Joseph, all he can think about is, get me out of here. But what was God thinking about? God was thinking something way beyond just getting Joseph out of prison. God was thinking about an entire nation. An entire nation of Egypt, the entire nation of what would become Israel. God had a bigger picture in his mind. And that's why things needed to take time. That's why certain events needed to happen and people come together in order for the ultimate miracle to take place. You see, it's not just about Joseph. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. God is doing a bigger plan. Our lives are not our own. God loves the world. He doesn't just love you. It's great that he loves you. It's wonderful that God gave his life for you and for me. But we need to remember, we need to pinch ourselves that, it's not just about me. It's not just about you. God loves everyone. He loves the world, and he will do whatever he can and take as long as it takes in order to bring God's love to everyone. I've always loved the scripture in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. John Deuce shared this scripture just the other week. And it's great. It says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." It reminds us, doesn't it, that God has a much bigger picture than the little micro picture that we tend to have of our own lives, and the little micro picture probably that Joseph had of his own personal circumstances at this moment in time. I wish that scripture went on to say, And my timing is not your timing. My timing is much higher and much more complex and much more, you know, profound than your timing. And what's my timing? What's your timing? Well, you know, our timing is now. I want it now. ASAP. It's just the way we seem to live these days, isn't it? We just want things to happen straight away. And when we pray prayers, we want our prayers to be answered now. And it really hurts, and it's really confusing, and it's really difficult and challenging sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayers now. But the wonderful truth is this, that his timing is perfect. And more often than not, God's timing isn't now. God's timing isn't instant. You know, God's timing is far more much like a marathon than it is a sprint. God's timing is perfect. So what do we do? What do we do while we're waiting for God's perfect time to play out? Well, we do what Joseph did. And we see this right through the story. It's pretty incredible, really, because it's, you know, when you think about his circumstances. But Joseph walked with God. He walked with God. God was with him, and he was with God. And he trusted God through thick and thin. You know, and I love the fact that 11 years into this challenging journey that Joseph's had, you know, and right at the point, really, 11 years and it's all still going pear-shaped, you know, when Joseph could have given up, who was it that noticed the cupbearer? Who was it that noticed the baker, that they were both feeling dejected and down? It was Joseph. It was Joseph that noticed, even though things were so bad and had gone so long. And I just think this is really important. You know, if we want to participate in God's bigger plan, i.e. not just the plan for your own personal life, but actually you want to be in God's plan and the, you know, what God's doing in other people's lives too, then we've got to notice. We've got to be aware. We've got to be alert. That word alert, That's the new thing, isn't it, for what we're going through at the moment. Boris Johnson says we've got to be alert. Why have we got to be alert? Well, you know, we can't just go out willy-nilly and start meeting people and bumping into people and doing all sorts of things without and not thinking, because we run the risk of spreading this terrible virus. And so Boris is saying, yes, go and do things, but be alert. Be aware, be as sensitive of where other people are and what situations they're in and what they're doing. And that's how God wants us to live our walk with him. That's how God wants us to live day by day in our faith. He wants us to be alert, not just living for ourselves, not just looking out for ourselves, but he wants us to notice. He wants us to notice when people are down and dejected and suffering and hurting and need healing and need God's promises and encouragement. He wants us to be alert. You know, this incident with the cupbearer and the baker, it tells me something else about Joseph. You know, that in spite of all his own challenges, and, his challenges are huge, then, you know, we don't have anything as bad as what Joseph is going through. And yet, as difficult as his challenges were, he cared enough to spend time with the cupbearer and the baker, to listen to their dreams and give them an interpretation. For one, it was a real encouragement. For another, well, it was tough, but he cared. He cared enough. You know, we can so get lost and focused on our own challenges and our own difficulties and our own hurts and our own pressures. And it's all about me, me, me. Look at me. Help me. I've got all this going on in my life. But, you know, when you stay alert and when you allow yourself to notice the needs of other people, that can lift you out of your own difficulties. And that's what God wants us to do. There's a hurting world all around us, and God wants us to care for those people just like he cares for us. You see, because it's not all about us. It's not all about me. God cares for everyone, and he wants to demonstrate his love to everyone through you and me. So just to summarize, I don't know how Joseph is really feeling now. 11 years as we entered this story, 13 years by the time we get to the very end of this story and we hit the first verse of chapter 41. You know, it probably feels like he's being forgotten. You know, just when he thought things were going up, he's probably shot right back down in the dumps now. You know, this real roller coaster of a life. Is he angry? Is he full of bitterness? Is he disillusioned? Is he about to give up? Well, we're going to see in the next chapter how God just picks Joseph up and how Joseph, you know, is able to get hold of his emotions and really step into what God has called him to do. Is he ready at the end of chapter 41? You know, 2 years later down the line, is he ready? We're going to see that he really is ready for the task that we're going to see God has called him for as we move into the next chapter. God bless.